praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, presented by Living Stream Ministry. These life studies explore every book in the Bible from the perspective of the believer's enjoyment and experience of God's divine life in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These messages unveil how the Scriptures can be living and more than mere doctrine to man. Today, we bring you recorded excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking, along with some of our own comments and thoughts. If you have questions, please send email to radio@lsm.org. Now, let's join today's program. The Law of God, or the Law of Commandments as it's sometimes called, presents on the surface a significant demand on mankind, and most religions are focused on motivating people to do their best to keep this law. But is this the real intention or function of the law? And what do laws say about the person that makes the law? These are questions that God wants to answer if we can get His light in His Word. Stay with us for today's Life Study of Hebrews with Witness Lee. This program is furnished by Living Stream Ministry and features recorded portions of the spoken ministry of Witness Lee. And we're happy that Ed Marks can join us today. Ed, it's nice to see you. Welcome back.
Chris, I'm very happy to be back again, especially for these concluding messages on the book of Hebrews.
Ed, we're going to see an intriguing presentation today about the law and God's purpose in giving it to man. Actually, we're going to go much deeper today than the usual discussion concerning the commandments that God gave to man, aren't we?
Yes, Chris, and I think our listeners are in for a real treat, because in this program we will see a view of the law, which is actually God's view, that many people don't realize. And I think as you listen, you'll see a remarkable revelation that the law is actually a portrait of God that typifies Christ himself as the reality of God's testimony and God's expression. You are in for a real treat to see the intrinsic significance of what the law really is.
Now with this treat from the book of Hebrews, here's Witness Lee.
God created man in his own image. God's intention was to have an expression. And we all know the expression is just the testimony. What is the testimony of God? That is, God expressed. The expression of God is God's testimony. God's intention was, and still is, even for eternity, will be, to work himself into man, that he may be expressed, that he may have a testimony, that he may have an expression. This was God's intention. We know before God worked this out, man got fallen. Man, in his fallen nature, trying to do good, to please God. So God gave them the law. The law came just because of this, because of man's fall, because man didn't know man cannot satisfy God, fallen man cannot express God. So God gave man the law. But when the law is given, right away, God changed the term. God didn't call it the law, but the testimony. What was given was the law. But the law eventually was mostly not called by the term law, but by the term of testimony. If you have time today, please go to Psalm 119. In that psalm, you have altogether 176 verses. All the time, the word or the term testimony is mentioned in Psalm 119. It means the law. The testimony in Psalm 119 is the law. The law was given by God in God's intention, not as some commandment, but his testimony. In man's concept, the law was 10 commandments. The law in God's intention, in God's concept, is his testimony. But in the human concept is the Ten Commandments. If you are trying to keep God's law, surely the law is the Ten Commandments. But if you do know what is life, not trying to keep the law, but just walking one with God, then you will realize the law is not the Ten Commandments. The law is just God's expression.
Amen.
It's just God's testimony. What can person make what can law? If the bank robbers make a law, surely they would say to rob the bank is fair. You see, on the lawmaker's side, the law is a testimony. On the lawkeeper's side, the law is a kind of regulation. It can commandment. So the law God given does have these two aspects. To us who try to keep the laws are the commandment. But with God, the law is his testimony.
Ed, I think I speak for most of the listeners today that seeing the law in this context of a testimony really brings a completely new perspective on this whole matter. Say a bit more about the distinction or contrast that we've been getting between the law as a testimony and the law as just a set of commandments.
Yes, Chris, this is very critical because in the Bible, when it refers to the law as God's testimony, what that does is it brings us back to God's original intention for man and God's eternal intention for man and God's very heart's desire. What is God's eternal intention? It's that man would be his expression. This is why he created man in his image. He created man in his image after his likeness so that man could express him. He wants to come into man, to fill man with all that he is so that he can be man's contents and man can be his expression. This expression is his testimony. Well, remarkably, God refers, especially in the Old Testament, to the law as his testimony. Well, what is his testimony? His testimony is his expression. So the law itself is also the expression of God. The law is a portrait of God. The law shows us who God is, what God is, what God is like. A person who makes a law, if you make a law, that law that you make shows the kind of person you are. Well, the law shows us that God is love, that God is light, that God is holiness, and that God is righteousness. What the law does is it exposes us also. It shows us what God is and what we are not. We can't keep the law. Paul tells us this. People think the law was given for man to keep. No, the law was given to show us what God is, what God's testimony is, what God's expression is, and the law also shows us what we are not. The law typifies Christ. Christ is the reality of God's testimony. Christ is God's expression. He is the expression of God, so he is the reality of the law of God. When we receive Christ as our Savior, he came into us as the reality of God's testimony, as God's expression, as God's living law. So when we walk according to the Spirit, when we allow Christ to live himself out through us, we spontaneously keep the outward commandments of the law. This is what Romans 8:4 says. It says that the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in those who do what? Who walk according to the Spirit. When we walk according to Christ as the Spirit in our spirit, spontaneously we fulfill the requirements of the law because we are allowing Christ as the reality of the law to live himself out through us. This is a marvelous new view of the law, that the law typifies Christ as the very testimony and expression of God.
Ed, I'm very happy that we could revisit this topic. As you alluded to Romans chapter 8, when we were in the life study of Romans, we had a couple of tremendous programs on this very topic. I remember particularly a call from a listener in Texas who was absolutely elated to get this view, and it was so freeing and so encouraging and so enlightening. This is a word that God's people desperately need, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We need to see that the law was given to expose us, to see our sinful condition, and to bring us, to escort us to Christ, who is the reality of the law, for us to enjoy, experience, and live out.
Ed, let's rejoin Witness Lee with more of this fellowship.
The real testimony, the living testimony, the full testimony, the adequate testimony of God, just Christ himself. The law typifies Christ in the aspect that Christ is God's living testimony. Christ expresses God. God is embodied in Christ. So Christ becomes the living, the full, the adequate testimony of God. In this aspect, the law typifies Christ. In the Old Testament time, if you like to know what can God was, you had to go to the law. But today, in the New Testament, if you want to know how God is, you have to come to Jesus. Let me check with you. Why once after God gave the law, God didn't tell his people to put the law into the altar? Why God put the law in the ark? Because God's intention was not that man should keep the law. No, the law in God's concept was not for man to keep. The law in God's concept was to be God's testimony. Do you think, do you believe that you can be like God? Impossible. Put the Ten Commandments in front of you. You read it every day. And you try your best to keep the law. I tell you, regardless of how much you do, you cannot make it. You cannot express God. That was and still is not God's intention. God's intention is that, firstly, he just let you know what he is. Then what should God do? What should God do? God says, the day will come. I will covenant with you and make a new covenant with you. I will put my law into you. Into your inward part, even into your inmost heart. You don't need to keep it from outside, but it will work out from within you. This shows you why God put the law in the ark and put the ark into the Holy of Holies. How could this law get into you? Because when Christ gets into you, this law is given into you. Because this law is in Christ. And in a very positive sense, you have to know this law is just Christ. When you received Christ, when you accepted Christ, by that time you have received the law into you. By that time, God has put the law into your spirit. Amen. And this law is in Christ. You read Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ. This law is not something outside of Christ. This law is something in Christ. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you have received Him. As you have received Him, you have received the law of life.
Ed, some people hearing this for the first time today may definitely be struggling with it. Ed, the Bible says that Christ did not come to take away the law, but to fulfill it. And this is really the key to seeing these two approaches. How do we get the law not just outside of us demanding, but within us operating?
Christ is the reality of the law. He's the one who fulfilled the law. Even he is the reality of the law as God's expression and God's testimony. When we received Christ as our life, he came into us as a living law. Not only is he the reality of the law as the expression of God, he comes into us as the law of life. In this sense, when we speak of the law of life, we're speaking about the law as a spontaneous, natural, constant principle that operates automatically and spontaneously. Any life has a law. There's an innate capacity with that life that operates the same way all the time. It's just like a peach tree. The life of a peach tree has a law of that life. You know when that peach tree grows, it's going to produce peaches. That is the law of the peach tree life. In the same way, Christ came into us as the law of the divine life. When we enjoy him, when we contact him, when we pray and contact him in prayer, this gives him the way to operate within us. The law of that life operates within us. And what does it do? It doesn't make peaches like the peach tree life. What it does is it makes us, transforms us into sons of God. And it makes us the functioning members of the body of Christ with all kinds of functions that can build up the body of Christ. Anyway, the point that we're making here is the law isn't just something outside of us for us to keep. Christ came into us as the reality of God's law, God's expression, God's testimony. And he is also within us as the law of life. And as that law of life operates within us, spontaneously we fulfill God's righteous requirements as we live out Christ, who is the reality of God's expression and God's testimony.
Ed, thank you. That's marvelous fellowship. Let's go back and get the conclusion of our life study.
God had no intention to give the law for people to keep. He gave the law to Moses just to show people what he wants. He wanted men to be like him. He wanted man to be the same as he was. He wanted man to be his expression. But that was just a desire. And you may say that that was a real want. Nothing happened. Man tried to imitate God. Man tried to make himself the same as God. Man tried to be like God. Man never made it. Until one day, the real law, the living law, the reality of the testimony, who is Christ, until he came, and you have received him into you. Until this time, this real law, the reality of the law, has been wrought into you, wrought into the very center of you. Now, we all have to realize within us, within our being, in the inmost part of our being, we do have something wonderful. Something which is the top of all the tops. This is Christ. Christ himself. He himself has come into our being to be the reality of the law. We all have to see that in the tabernacle, the inmost matter is the law. Today, within us, the inmost thing is Christ within our spirit as the reality of the law. And now we have this law within us. It is not a matter that we keep the law. No. But it altogether matter that we let Christ live out of us. Not we try the best to keep the law from without, but we let Him to live and live out from within. This is God's intention, to put the law into your inmost part. And you have to submit yourself to this law. Don't try to keep this law. You can never keep it. You have to submit yourself to this law. Let this law live out of you. How could this Christ, as the living law, as the reality of the law, be so to us? The Bible is wonderful. In this ark, you have three things. The number one thing is manna. And the number two thing, falling manna, is the rod, budding. Then eventually, you have the testimony. This implies, or even indicates, that we have to enjoy Christ. We have to eat Christ as the hidden manna. When we eat, something will bud. The more you enjoy Christ, the more you eat Christ, the more Christ becomes your budding element. When it buds, it blossoms. When it blossoms, it yields fruit. What is this? When fruit comes out, that is the testimony. That is the expression.
Ed Witnessley has spent much time in this life study of Hebrews on these three items within the ark, the hidden manna, the budding rod, and the tables of testimony. Share more on how to apply the reality of these items in order really to be those that live Christ as the reality of the law.
The ark of God in the Old Testament typifies Christ. And this ark was placed in the Holy of Holies. Now we have seen that today's Holy of Holies is our human spirit. So our human spirit is the very place where Christ dwells. 2 Timothy 4:22 tells us that the Lord is with our spirit. So as the ark of God, He is in the Holy of Holies. That means Christ, as the reality of the ark, is living within our spirit. This is marvelous. Now, within the ark, there are three items. There's the hidden manna, there's the budding rod, and there's the tables of the testimony. Well, these three items are marvelous. Why are there three items? It's because Christ is the embodiment of the triune God. So the triune God embodied in Christ is living in our spirit. Now, these three items all relate to one another, and it shows us how we can live Christ as the reality of God's law, which is typified by the tables of testimony. We need to enjoy Him as manna every day. We need to eat Him as our spiritual food. When we eat Christ as our spiritual food, He blossoms out from within us. This is the budding rod. He becomes our blossoming element. Something of His resurrection life blossoms from within us. Then His blossoming out through us is our bearing Him as fruit, as the expression of the divine life from within us. This fruit is His testimony, His expression, and this expression is actually the living out of Him as the living law. So we could see how these all relate to one another. For Christ to be lived out of us as the reality of the law, it starts with our eating Him every day as the manna, as the hidden manna. In John 6, Christ told us that He was the living bread that came down out of heaven. And He said, "He who eats Me shall live because of Me." This shows that the way to live Him out as the reality of the law is to eat Him. Now, how do we do this? Well, in John 6:57, the Lord said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So in order to eat Christ as our spiritual food, we have to eat His words every day. Jeremiah 15:16 tells us, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." I did eat them. How do we eat God's words? Well, the way we eat them is by taking His Word, His living Word. Every morning, first thing in the morning, we have to open our Bible and we need to read His Word with prayer, by prayer, through prayer, and in prayer. The best prayer book in the universe is the Bible. Take the very words that you're reading and pray them back to God. Ephesians 6, 17, and 18 tells us that we need to take His Word by means of all prayer. This prayer converts the written Word to His instant Word, and His Word then becomes spirit and life to us. We eat His Word, then He blossoms out from within us, and then spontaneously we live Him as the reality of the law. This is how these three items relate, and I hope every day that our listeners, along with myself, we would give ourselves to eat Christ every day as our spiritual food by praying with, by, in, and over His Holy Word. Then His words will become our spiritual sustenance for us to live Him and express Him.
This fellowship on a way to eat the Lord daily, day by day, to enjoy Him as this hidden manna is really marvelous. Thank you for your fellowship today. Thank you very much for joining us. We trust the Lord that this program and this fellowship has been a benefit to you. Ed, you'll be back for the final concluding message to the Life Study of Hebrews. I'm already looking forward to that.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to it too, Chris. That will be a marvelous conclusion to this Life Study of Hebrews.
We'll be back tomorrow with more fellowship from the Life Study of Hebrews with Witness Lee. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today. Are you enjoying this program online or on a smartphone right now? Did you know there's much more from Living Stream Ministry that you can carry with you? Go to lsm.org/epublications to discover all that we have available for your tablet, e-reader, or smartphone. We support Kindle, Nook, iSilo, and EPUB formats, which means you can read this ministry on any PC, Mac, Android, Palm, BlackBerry, Sony, or Linux device. Everything from the recovery version of the Bible to the complete life study messages and a vast array of other titles by Witness Lee and Watchman Nee are now just a touch away. The Word of God is rich and weighty, but now you can take it with you wherever you go. Again, the website, lsm.org/epublications. Thanks for listening today.